That is. So look forward to seeing you there Tuesday at 6:30 here at the church.
Thank you, Doug. Let's see, the 26th of November, our Thanksgiving service is at Walnut Park this year, so don't forget that. See, there's no Wednesday night service after that. So if you show up here again at 7, you know, you're going to be in trouble again. See, the 15th is our Christmas program. And then, Pastor's Thought for the Week, there's a lion on the loose, so beware. Guys, you come forward to pick up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the day, the opportunity to be here, Lord. Lord, so many things we have to be thankful for. We take things for granted, Lord. We're just a bunch of awful people, Lord, but we still love you, and we're here for you, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go into our service, Lord, that you would just guide and direct, be it those that may need to make a decision for you today, Lord, if they might do so. Lord, just be with the gift and the giver now as we take up this offering. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason's coming up here.
Patsy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jaden, can you turn the pastor's mic off?
Good morning.
Well, the Lord did it to me again. I had a month to plan for the special, and he changed it at the last minute. Well, we have a certain day coming up pretty soon, as you guys are all aware. And the Lord put it on my heart to do something special to speak to his saints about not only that day, but our daily lives. And I want to first start out with a scripture. And I'll make it brief. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 23. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, let's test them. Hold fast to that which is good or of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is a song, but it's also a prayer. And I would ask that today that you consider doing something a little different. I know we've gotten in the habit of applauding at the end of songs. And I would ask today that you do something a little different, and instead I want you to pray. Because we all need to prove the things that are in our lives, and we all need to choose that which is good, and we all need God's help to do so. And especially in coming days, you know, Halloween is not a day of God. And we needed to consider what we're doing on those days, whether or not we honor God with that. But not only that one day, but every single day. And again, this is a prayer. So if you are familiar with the word, sing along with me. If not, I'd encourage you to seek the Lord through this. And God help me, I'm actually kind of nervous today. It's been kind of a busy, crazy morning, and I'm a little flustered today, but Lord help me. And again, this is for the edification of the church and God's honor. Amen.
Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Clean hands, oh God, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Sing with me.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us cast down our idols and give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, God, let us be a generation that seeks to see your face. Oh God of give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts, Lord. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks to see your face, oh God of Jacob. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Thank you.
Clean hands and pure hearts. It should be the desire of all of us, again, to live for the Lord Jesus. Jason, what you're experiencing this morning is not an unusual phenomenon when you stand against Satan and his angels. And I greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully I can remember everything I've got to say today. But as you know, I started a... Oh, yes, young folks, you can go down this morning for children's church. As you know, last week, and it is good to be with you, by the way, again, I miss you folks. I look forward to the day, hopefully soon, when I can be back to full speed and up to full capabilities, but that's in God's hands. And I share with you this morning, I'm weak, but what I was going to say, Jason, is this morning I've been preaching about demonic influence over at Moscow. And I found this out in my experience of speaking against the devil, that he will attack you. And I was attacked this morning over there. I lost my recall on things. I can blame all kinds of things about that. But Jason, what you're experiencing today is that very thing, because you came today to, again, stand for Jesus and stand against the forces of evil, Satan and his minions. But anyway, that's very common when you're involved in that kind of thing. So I ask that you pray for me today as I bring this message and do the best I can with it. You have a note sheet. If you don't have one, there are some in the back, and a kind usher will get one of those for you this morning. But I want to welcome you here today, because what we are here about is serious business. It really is. And we live in a day of increasing demonic influence. So again, we need to take this very seriously this morning. We're going to pray this morning. I'll have a short pastoral prayer, but before we do, again, this is a worship service. And again, help, Lord, help me get this all together. Welcome to one and all. There's some of you I need to meet here this morning and greet, but you're all welcome to be here. There is no accident in you being here today, as God has led you here. And this is a place of fellowship and edification in the Word, and hopefully it's a place of love between brothers and sisters in Christ, and for whoever walks through our doors. Also, you probably already know by the smells wafting across that we have a fellowship today. I am going to stay for that, Lord willing. Jason, you'll be interested to know this too, or maybe you listened to the recorded message. I recorded a message for today's service, just in case Bible baseball, a little fun time that we have, and we encourage you to stay for that in case it didn't come to pass. Guess what the text was? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So you'll have that next Sunday night, Lord willing. if we don't use it today, which I think you're all in order for that. But anyway, come and stay for the fellowship. Enjoy some time. A little fun we have here. Do you think Christians can have fun? Someone says once in a while. Listen, we ought to enjoy. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah, God wants us to enjoy what we have here. And as we learned in our Inquisitors class this morning and discussed, you know, today we're in a state of turmoil in almost everything, including the church. But let me assure you this, folks. In God, there is refuge and peace. And if you feel that way in your employment, your family life, what even in the church life, draw closer to God. He'll draw closer to you. It'll be good in God. And He is the one we can always count on. He is the changeless one, and He loves us with an unending love. So that's the basis we come to here today. But I will want to meet everyone that I didn't. And if you've been coming here, we're glad you're here. And hopefully this is a place that you can find encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that said, I think I've said everything I need to say. I need to be more efficient on words, but we're going to go to prayer. And we'll start with a little silent prayer. And adjust our hearts to worship. Again, speak to the Lord, draw close to Him. And we ask this morning the Holy Spirit would be active in the teaching of the Word, both in the hearts of the hearers and through this faulty, weak deliverer this morning. As we do deal with this topic today, which was a requested message, the title of it being The Fall of Lucifer and Demonic Activity. So that's where we're at today. And we'll go from there. I'm going to stand up. We'll have just a few moments of silent prayer. Remember today, there are several in our number that we're missing today that are out with surgeries and illnesses,
Also remember Wendy Gillette and her dad, who is not well. Some of you on the prayer chain know about that. But we're missing people for different reasons, and we need to continue to pray that God would lift them up and that He would draw us closer to Himself today. All right, so let's go to prayer, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come once again gathered as your church, the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you today for this gathering, and we want to give you preeminence in it, Lord. And at this time, we quiet our hearts. Hopefully, Lord, we have said a few words to you here and asked you to clean us, Lord, and to open our hearts to hear the engrafted word, that it might have an impact on our lives this day. We thank you today, Father, for your powerful word. It's like dynamite. It has an effect, and it will stand forever. It will never return to you void. People here today will either grow from it or resist it to their own destruction. So, Father, it is a dynamic thing. And we thank you for the Word in the flesh, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at your right hand this morning in heaven, awaiting that time when He will work the end times events and culminate the age, Lord, and we will be one day closer to eternity future with you in the new heavens and new earth. But Lord, we know that as of now, we still live in the ravages of the sin-cursed world because of man's disobedience there in the Garden of Eden. And so, Lord, help us as we navigate what I mentioned earlier, the turmoil that we find in our day. In our own lives, Lord, help us to seek you as the solid rock, the underpinning of all things in our lives. Now, Lord, we thank you for everyone that's come through these doors today, but we also pray for the community around us, Lord, the people that are passing by today. Some may choose to ignore looking at the gathering place here today, and yet, Lord, there's a good number of vehicles around here, and they probably wonder what they do there. Well, we pray they'd stop in, Lord, and help us to be able to better reach our community. Lord, we pray for souls to be saved. We pray for lost family members, but our community, Lord, and all others that are apart from you, we pray today, Lord, that their word would be affected in their heart and faith would come because they've heard it, like it tells us from the hand of Paul in Romans 10:17. So, Lord, we have a relevance here, and I pray that you'll use this church and its people today, Lord, in our witness for you. Pray you'll strengthen us. We thank you for those that are visiting today. We always know, Lord, it's a possibility there could be someone here that has not been under your blood, that has never received you, trusted by faith alone to be rescued, to be saved by the work that you did on Calvary's cross in bearing our sins in your body and covering our sins with your shed blood and then raising, Lord, to victory on the third day. And we thank you, Lord, that that victory is possible in our lives this day as redeemed ones. Lord, help us to not only think about it, but to claim it and to experience it. And so, Lord, I pray today again for some of our number that are ill, some that have had surgeries this past week. We raise those before your throne. I think of our brother, Dave Brockert, today, who's suffered for a few weeks now too, Lord, especially. And others, Lord, for Marlon and Marilyn and others that have been in situations of hardship. Also the Ship family, Lord, at the loss in that family. And I pray, Lord, you'd come alongside those folks today with your comfort. Now, Lord, it's my time to get going here, and I've already confessed, and you know Satan attacked me this morning, and I'm going to speak against him again, should you allow me to have the breath to do it. I just pray, Lord, that you'd give me victory and that these words would be clear and make sense today, Lord, because I'm struggling. Thank you, Lord, that you've preserved me and given me this great responsibility, but also the privilege to bring your word to the group here today. We don't take anything for granted, Lord. We know that our days are numbered, and I pray today that we get our hearts right before you. Now help us, Lord, today to absorb what I have here in the word for us. I pray it'll be driven by the Holy Spirit. I'm the weak link in this, but you are strong. I pray you'll help us, and Lord, that we'll have a good time later of sitting at the table and even some fun after lunch here, Lord, looking into your word again to have a little bit of a learning experience through a game. And so we commit this time to you for your honor and glory today, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to do one other thing today that I think is important. What was the last hymn that we sung this morning? 172, wasn't it? 76, 176. If you're a blood-bought believer here this morning, we're going to sing the chorus of this a cappella. Because I'll tell you what, when Jesus rose, we received the victory over sin, death, and the devil. So let's sing this like blood-bought redeemers this morning. Here we go. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. May the power and glory belong to him. Well, folks, if you have your note sheet, just do your best on it. It's not exact with the message, but what you've got there, I can only give you a thumbnail in the messages, and this will likely last another week. But there is extra scripture that you can look into on your own, and that you can analyze this with further, but that's not even all the scripture that there is. But I want to hit on the high points today, and so we're going to start on point number 3. And if you have your Bibles here with you today, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. And again, I could talk about this section of verses all day today, but we're going to just peruse some of the important points about it. But as I said earlier, and as Jason mentioned as well, we live in a day of growing demonic influence. Satan is a mighty force, folks. And the first thing that we're going to look at today that we find here is that when he fell, we looked at how he fell and also about the fact that God is good and wants only good last week in the first 2 points, and you can look at that, but when we see how Satan fell, he fell because of his pride. And I think, I can't remember, you'll have to listen to the tape on this, and it's available, by the way, on the website. But I think I said this last week, that we get into the same mode of Satan when we begin to use the pronoun I. And we can check ourselves all the time. If you're starting to speak about me or myself or I a lot, and the things that revolve around you are the most important thing in your life, folks, you're in satanically oriented territory. Because that's what happened with Satan. God gave the angels free will, and I'll tell you what, Lucifer, the head angel, we looked at that last week, the head archangel, he wanted to be like God, and we looked at that from Isaiah again in chapter 14, where all the pronouns, I. So if you're in that mode in your life and in mind today, that's a dangerous place to be. It's satanic territory. Anyway, we read about that. Today I want to direct us to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. There's a lot of meat in Revelation 12, and it has to do, and we'll come back to this again later on, but I'm going to stay with my text this morning. May the Lord help me. We got into some very good discussions at Moscow. We may be in it there for a few more weeks as well. That happens sometimes. By the way, normally I don't have the same message for Moscow that I do Fruitland, but I believed and was led by the Spirit that this message is important, and so both churches have been hearing the same text. But folks, we know this, we know the evidence of this, of the power of Satan, but let me assure us all today, he does not have the power of God. Yeah, he is not omnipotent. God is omnipotent. Satan is not omniscient. God is all-knowing. He is omniscient. And you go right on down the line. Satan has a lot of power, but he doesn't have the power, again, that Almighty God has. Hallelujah. He's a defeated foe, just as we sang about and as we talked about here just a few moments earlier. But folks, again, I don't want to repeat anything I've said, but the word angel in the Greek, it's the word angelos. It means messenger, but they are God's servants and his messengers. And we explored that a little bit last week. He has, I believe, a guardian angel, the Bible says, that watches over every one of us. Thank you, Lord. I believe you can even say he has an angel over the churches, over the church, Fruitland Baptist Church. Very likely has an angel that God has assigned to watch over this place. Now, I could be a little tongue-in-cheek today and say, what? He's one of God's angels that can put up with a lot. Come on, loosen up a little bit about that. But folks, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4, we find the following. And it's referencing Satan here when it's talking about the red dragon. But it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Folks, what Satan's program is, since he fell away with pride, and by the way, Satan still has access to the heavenly realm to this day. But we'll get to this later, maybe not today, but in Revelation chapter 12, there also is going to be a time when Satan is going to be removed from his access to the heavenly realm. Read the book of Job sometime to see how that all takes place too. And he does. And never forget this. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. What he is doing when he enters into the heavenly realm, just like what we saw if you look at the context with Job, you see that he is accusing. He's saying, John Brown is a filthy sinner, God. He needs to be condemned. And you know what? He would be what? He would be right. But, in case you don't understand that today, the Bible says there is not one good. No, not one. None of us are good. We're tainted. And we know that, don't we, folks? We do. God's revealed that to us through our conscience. God's implanted his holiness in our conscience. And none of us could claim today that we are righteous or have any reason to do anything before God, because the Bible clearly states, and we know it, we deserve to die for our sin. Because that's what God told Adam and Eve back in the garden. He said, if you disobey, death will enter in the picture. And folks, you know, I think about that more and more since I've been racked up here for a while. You know your demise is coming. This is a part of the experience of man. Because of sin. But God redeemed us from that. And God has the power to defeat Satan and his foe. But what we find there recorded is that a third of the angels fell when Lucifer rebelled against God. That's a lot of angels, folks. We don't know their numerics from Scripture, but we know there could be how many? Eons of angels. They're a powerful force. And when we study about the force of Satan, which I think I was alluding to earlier, help me with my train of thought today, Lord. We know in the Garden of Eden, he manifested himself to Adam and Eve as a beautiful creature. Serpent, a snake, a dragon. He manifests himself as an angel of light, but he's really what? He's an angel of darkness. He's a deceiver. Because first of all, he deceives himself. He knows he was defeated at the cross. But he still thinks that somehow he's going to get out of this. And somehow he can drag a lot more people down with him. Satan's biggest achievement that he desires is to block the cross of Calvary. From the Garden of Eden, he tried to block the cross coming forward. Genesis 3:15, he tried to take Christ out. He was deceptive even when Christ went to the cross. By the way, Jesus was not put there by us. He went voluntarily there for us. Hallelujah. And he defeated Satan through his blood. See, we'll see that in these scriptures too. But he is a force that has not given up. And what he is doing in our day, he is trying to block people to look back at the power of the cross. That's his desire. And so as I see that in our realm and midst today, the growing demonic influence in our world. Folks, it's always been there, and we are not in the time yet of when Satan is cast out of heaven in Revelation 12. But we are coming to that time, and His forces and His activity are going to increase, and that's what we are seeing today. I really believe that with all my heart. Jason mentioned Halloween. You know, I'm not going to pick on that today, but we know that that day is short for All Hallows' Eve, where it talks about the spirits of the dead being raised up. That's what it's all about. Folks, we'll set that straight in this teaching too. Let me just assure you this. The souls of people when they die do not come back. You read Luke 16 for one, and I have several proof texts on your sheet there. But the fact of the matter is, what Lazarus knew and the rich man knew, he said there's a great gulf affixed. People cannot go back. Their spirits cannot. Folks, that's demonic stuff and demonic thinking. And what I'm trying to get across here this morning is the power of Satan is not near the power of God, but it's great, and it has an effect on us, and it may have an effect on you today. And what you see around you, take careful look at it, all of it, and explore it through the Word of God. Jason mentioned there from the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, and Paul says to the Thessalonian believers, abstain from some appearances of evil. No. He says, abstain even from the appearance of evil, because what we are treading on, folks, is dangerous stuff. A third of the angels of God are in that realm, that spiritual realm. Some are contained yet, are not out. They will be turned loose. We'll look at that too if we get to it. But we're dealing with a force to be reckoned with. And here's the good thing, folks, before I go into the actual preaching here for a few minutes. Know this, that a believer can be oppressed by the demonic realm, but one who possesses the Holy Spirit as a blood-bought, born-again believer cannot be possessed, but we can be oppressed by that. Folks, it's going to be a challenge because the deceiver, Satan, is out to attack. And like I said earlier, he's accuser of the brethren. Well, it's a significant force that deals in the heavenly realm. We'll see about that a little later. And it does have, as we'll see in the book of Daniel, a restraining influence even on God's good angels and upon His people. It's a hindrance. And Satan, that's one of his about 40 names, he's a hinderer as well. He's here to hinder you and I today from a walk with Jesus. As a believer, he's here to disrupt our fellowship with Jesus. By the way, in the book of James, you know what? We can draw closer to God. You know, we can resist the devil, draw closer to God, and what will happen? He'll flee from us. You see, these are practical things we must do as believers. Going back to Jason's song here this morning. Pure, clean hearts, pure, clean hands, pure hearts. Very good. Yep. Anyway, so as we explore this, demonic activity, a third of the angels fell. Now, here's an interesting thing, folks. By the way, if you go into the Greek, all angels come in masculine form. But there is a debate, again, about the power and what angels can do. And folks, I can see this from both angles, but I'm going to present that briefly today. But I'd like you to turn to Genesis 6, 1 through 6. But understand this before we leave verse 4. What's taking place here in this demonic warfare and things that are going on, and this alludes to this in verse 4 and through the text here in Revelation 12, is just what I said earlier. Satan's eyes have been on the destruction of Jesus Christ and the cross. Okay, and of course, this talks about Israel here, being the woman in this context here, and he is there ready to devour her child, that being Jesus Christ. He's out to destroy and to destroy the power of the cross. So back now to Genesis 6 and verses 1 through 6. And I encourage you to study about this a little bit, but we all remember the guy named Noah, right? Genesis 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. And do you remember what happened in Noah's day? Well, basically, it just comes down to this. The world became extremely wicked. And I'm going to give you some thoughts here as to why it was so extremely wicked. Now, folks, I just mentioned earlier, we live in demonically instigated times increasingly so. I believe that with all my heart. By the way, Halloween is second only to Christmas as a holiday. Did you know that? Yeah. We'll talk about Christmas when we get a little further about where that's at as well, and be sure we celebrate it at the right for the right reasons. But bottom line, this day that's ascribed really to satanically derived things is big time stuff today, in case you haven't noticed. Have you noticed? It's important that we resist it, but that we also tell people the truth, how dangerous it is. Because, and again, I'm having a hard time getting my message across this morning, but God warns us over and over, don't mess with the demonic realm. Even to dabble in it. And I could go into all kinds of things, Ouija boards, seances, you know, you could go all this stuff, folks. It's opening the door to Satan in people's lives. By the way, there is a church of Satan. There is the Satanic Bible. Some people, I never heard of, yeah, it's out there, folks. And you can tell it. You can see it in people. And I'll tell you where you see it chiefly is in their eyes. And I'll tell you another thing that's coming down the line. One of the venues that Satan works in this day is through what the King James translates sorcery. In the Greek, it's the word pharmakia. Both legal and illegal mind-altering substances are a venue into people's lives of Satan. Be very careful, all the things that we deal with. As we learned there from 1 Thessalonians 5, get away from that stuff, because as we battle with those forces, it is real and it takes people down. It can even oppress Christians, as I said earlier. Well, let's look and see what happened here. It came to pass, Genesis 6:1, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, two things here. You can look into this. Either way can be legitimate. I've held to the view, personally, that these sons of God here were godly descendants of Seth's line, and they got involved with ungodly women. And the produce of that relationship, again, contributed to the melee that we see there in the days of Noah when the whole world was wicked. There were only 8 souls that were saved. Noah preached for how long? 120 years. By the way, do you ever think there were scratch marks on the door of the ark? You know what? I really don't know. Because I mean, I would think there could have been. There certainly could have been. But, you know, when people are under the demonic influence, again, the power of God is negated in their life. I don't know how those people reacted, but I know this, that God has limitations on His grace. His grace is unfathomable, but folks, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, you need to get on the ark. Because if you're not, technically, folks, let's call it like it is, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of... True? Serious stuff. The other way to look at this is that the sons of God in this verse are the fallen angels. And you can make a case for that. And this is where I have a problem, folks. And you're probably not going to hear this in many churches today, but here's the thing we got to think about regarding this. Can angels procreate? I don't know. They're found in the masculine gender. Can they intermix with? Again, it may never have been God's will, but as I said earlier, Satan can do a lot of stuff. Think about it with Pharaoh. Until the miracles became advanced that Moses did through God in front of Pharaoh, the magicians of Pharaoh could do the same stuff. Don't mess around with that realm if that could be the case. Anyway, intermixing. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, there's Noah's preaching time. Now notice in verse 4, there were giants, that's the word Nephilim, in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And you can read about this, the sons of Anak and the giants. Where did they come from? Was it a genetic thing that some people were big? By the way, even who was the guy that David fought? And God saw this in verse 5, that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Folks, we're coming back in a time like that. That's prophesied by Jesus. I'll get into that a little later in Matthew 24. Because he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Demonic influence is on the increase. Notice what the Lord said in verse 6, and it repented. Or in other words, it grieved the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And of course, we know what had to happen then. God had to destroy this wickedness, and he did it through the great flood, while Noah and his sons and daughters and his wife were safely in the ark, which pictures salvation. Well, the bottom line is, however you want to interpret that, sin and wickedness overtook the world, with the exception of 8 souls. We don't know what the population was then, but I believe it could have been very great. If you study the generations that preceded that, a lot of people could have been on the earth since creation. And the whole thing was taken over by corruption. Folks, we're not at that point yet, but we're headed there. And no one can doubt that at all. Well, what you have here, angels don't have souls. And if these Nephilim were from the product of fallen angels and women on earth, or if they were as a result of godly men marrying ungodly women in the Sethite background, if you choose either one of those, but if you look at the thing with the Nephilim, they're demonically controlled soulless entities. That's what I'll use to describe that. And by the way, folks, there is no redemption plan for the angels if they don't have souls. The decisions that the angels made in their free will, which we talked about last week, are the decisions they've made. There is no redemption plan for the angels. They are either for God or they are against God. And if they are against God, they are headed for eternity in hell. Some are chained in the precursor of hell today, which we'll look at here in 2 Peter 2:4, because they're so wicked that God would not even let them out at this time. That's found in 2 Peter 2:4. We ought to go back there real quick. 2 Peter 2:4, Peter writes the following. He says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down, and the King James translates this hell, which that's not the best translation there. It's the word Tartarus in the Greek. It's a compartment of hell reserved for the grave, Sheol, reserved for the most wicked angels. Some are buried under the river Euphrates. They'll be loosed in the end times events. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world. And of course, that's talking about Noah's flood and what took place there. But folks, this is what we're dealing with, or could be dealing with. Soulless entities, demonically controlled. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 37, as it was in the day of Noah. I think this, folks, it is not impossible that some of the phenomenon that are experienced today in this world are that very thing coming back into prevalence. Let me just illustrate that. I've been writing a column for the Wilton paper, some of the most frequently asked questions. This would be up there in the top 10. Pastor, are there such things as UFOs or aliens? Well, I can unequivocally say I have never met an alien. Well, not an alien like we're talking about here. I have never seen a UFO that I know of. But do I believe that those could be possible? Well, let me first say God has protected me from that, I believe, because the Holy Spirit resides within me. But I believe this with all my heart, folks. If those things do exist, they could easily be the precursor of what's coming again, as it was in the days of Noah, of fallen angels and the demonic presence. You know, this is the story with people with UFOs and everything. The women have been taken. This is not impossible to think about in the day in which we live, folks. And just along with that, a lot of people said, do you believe that God has other civilizations? I don't, personally. I believe that he was deeply moved when he created man for fellowship, that these that our planet and the human race was who he wanted for fellowship. Man rejected that, of course. Of course, we can be brought back into fellowship with him. But I believe that God's word that's been proclaimed and through his son, Jesus Christ, is the only word that's directed to earth and humanity. And Christ worked toward it. And I believe this too. In Hebrews 9:28, we find that Christ suffered once. So if there are other civilizations and so forth, they have not been what? They have not been brought under the blood of Christ, but we have as the human race. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. We have. But folks, as I say, the demonic realm exists, and it's a massive thing. And we should not mess with it. Let's go back real quickly to Genesis 3:15. We're going to wrap this up. We'll come back next week. I've talked too much this morning. Actually, let's go back to Genesis 3:1. Hopefully these are all in your sheets as I wrote them out by hand. But know this, folks. You know, this is stuff that is right here in our midst today. It's right in our midst. Let's look at Genesis 3:1 here briefly. And again, the title of this, if I go back to my notes here, the third point was what? The demonic and evil activity explored. So let's go right back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent here was more subtle than any beast of the field. So, you know, we believe it was a snake of some kind or a creature, probably that was a standing upright creature, because we know that after the fall, God condemned that animal to what? That critter. To be on its belly. Yeah. Subtle. Subtle means what? Subtility. Subtility means what? Trickery, right? Devious, one that you better take extra precautions with. We all know what that's like in life. We know we run into situations and people, but we ought to always remember it with Satan, where your warning signs go up and you say, better be careful. You know that old adage, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true, right? So he manifests himself, trickery. He's the most sharp and devious of the manifestation of the animal world, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And we know this as well, that one of Satan's bag of tricks is he tells the truth of the Word of God, but he puts a spin on it. And so he asks that to Eve, doesn't he? And Eve answers back, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And notice what Satan says here. He totally goes against now what God said. He says, you will not surely die. By the way, the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. He's a conniving, crooked liar, folks. He speaks a lot of truth, but he spends the truth. Eve told him verbatim what God said, but then he says he didn't say that. Folks, we need to understand, and we had a message here quite a while back, but we need to understand the Word of God. The first way we take the Word of God is literally, and what God told Eve and Adam is what? Don't eat of that tree. It's that simple, or you'll what? You'll die. Satan denied that. He was trying to block the cross even there in Genesis 3:1 in the garden, but then go to 3:15. And now after the fall in the garden, God says the following here in 15. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." He's talking here to the serpent in the form of Satan. By the way, Satan is our enemy today. Is he your enemy and mine? And when you're dealing with an enemy, that is a force to be reckoned with. And you stand guard. You put that armor on from Ephesians 6 from the get-go. This is not something to be taken lightly. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Folks, right there, God saw what was going to take place. By the way, God never wanted this. He never intended for it, but he worked in spite of it. God has a perfect will, but he also has a permissive will. He allowed this to take place, as we learned last week, that the glory of God through Jesus Christ could be fully seen in the redemption of mankind. But this is what it's all about, folks. There's going to be warfare. Everyone, when you see a vicious, poisonous snake, you want to kill it. And the snake bit Jesus on the heel on the cross when he was spiked to the cross for the sins of the world. But as we sang today, Jesus had the victory over it. We're out of time for today. Can we come back one more time? Yeah, we're going to look at this in depth next time about the demonic realm. But as we conclude today, know enough and realize enough that this is real and we should not mess with it. We'll look into that further next week. How much we flirt with Satan. But let me remind you what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. I'm just going to paraphrase that this morning. Satan is a gentle little kitty. He wants you to come up and pet him. No. Peter said, "Satan is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour." Pastor John, you could be his next prey. Again, we cannot lose our salvation. We are under the protection of God, but we can be oppressed by Satan. We can be oppressed by this roaring lion. And if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, you are in the palm of his hand. You're in the paw of the lion. I said this morning, I knew from the day that we started over at Moscow's and my poor delivery this morning, Satan attacks, but God sees us through, folks. Never forget that. But he's going to attack. He wants to take us out. He wants to disrupt the believer's fellowship with God, and he wants, if you're here today and you have never known Jesus Christ as your Savior, he wants you today to believe that you're not a sinner, that you're basically good, and that you're just fine. And he won't touch you because he's already got you. But folks, as I close today, if there's one here today who has never had their sins forgiven in Jesus Christ, the Bible's very clear on that. If you acknowledge that you're a sinner and the punishment for sin is eternal death, which we just read about here earlier in the Garden of Eden, know this today, that if you now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to die for your sins in your place, he bore your sins in his body, he shed his blood to cover your sins, that when God looks at your sin, he looks at his Son's blood. And he says, they get the pass. And you believe that Jesus rose again to defeat and conquer death and sin and the punishment of it. Folks, that's what you need to have today to know that you can be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, but also to walk with him today to help you to defeat this lion that's going to take you to eternal punishment and death. It's that simple, folks, but it's that complex, because many today, and God forbid it's someone here today, you don't have to come up or make a big thing publicly, but you need to deal with God privately. But I want you to know there is help today in the Word of God, and there is help from people here at Fruitland that know the Lord, that have been in this battle, and we can help you know that the power of Satan for eternity can be defeated in your life. He is a living Savior. I don't know who picked the songs today. You didn't even know months ago that this is what I was going to be speaking on, but he's alive, folks, and he's defeated this power that we're talking about. We'll look into it more next week, but let me just say as we close today, if you have a question about salvation, if you have a question about how you can know that you will not be condemned to hell with Satan and his minions, I'd love to talk to you today, and there's others here that would as well. We can show you from the Word of God. It's not a religious rigmarole. It's faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the message. Lonnie, I'm going to have you come up today, and we're going to close with a hymn. But if you would like further information about that or would like to talk to me, I'll be at the back door if you can't stay, but we invite you all to stay. I'm going to stay and have a little lunch and with you, Lord willing. And we'll explore this further, and I'd be glad to visit with you today about that. Lonnie?
Take a hymn, we'll turn to 694. Let's stand, please.
Life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?
Let's sing the last. And
I have brought to thee down from my throne above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? Let's pray together, but today, make that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians that are here today, flee from sin. That's what the Bible tells us. Abstain from that appearance of evil and draw closer to the Savior in these days of increasing demonic activity. Jesus wants you today. He gave his life for us out of love for us. That's the message of the gospel. And he wants you to have that today. Does he want you to pay for it? You can't pay for it. He wants you to receive it. That's what he wants you to do, is come as a gift of your life to him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you'll dismiss us with your blessing today. I pray if there be one that is concerned, Lord, about their life, concerned about what we see in our midst today in our world, that they would draw close to you this day. I pray for the Christians, too, that are here today, Lord, that they would again live their lives in purity and seek to again to please you in every way, Lord. Help the Christians as well today, Lord, to flee from evil and from the wicked attacks of Satan and his angels. Now, I pray you'll bless the fellowship today, Lord, and the time of food, and then the Bible baseball later this afternoon. Dismiss us, I pray, with your care, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the way, if you didn't bring anything today, don't worry a bit about it. There's plenty of food. Come and stay. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys stay for lunch.
Oh, I don't know.
No, come on over and eat some dinner. Hey.